Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show. Welcome to episode 357. So today's solo conversation where I want to share some sales, I guess, insights or things that I've seen, collection of the conversations that I have with clients, with salespeople, with sales teams, and bring that here in the podcast, which is what I've been doing mostly in this season, season four. For today, it's going to be a two segment. So it's not two parts. It's going to be all in one episode, but I want to cover two things that are related but different. So there's a part A and a part B, if you will. In part A, what I wanted to share, and I think this is important for people to understand and remember, is that ultimately, here's the punchline, you want to meet your prospects and your customers where they want to be met at. If they like phone calls, if they like meetings, if they like video, if they like direct mail, if they like text messages, emails, whatever it is that they're looking for, especially in the beginning of the relationship, that's where you want to be and you want to meet them where they're at. Now, what a lot of organizations do, either they don't like to do outside of their comfort zone, or they just assume everybody should be the same or they want to operate the same way, they usually communicate or want their prospects to come to them and meet them on their terms, on their platform, right? So some companies are like, we don't do phone calls. We don't want any kind of phone call activity. We don't want to have a call center. We don't want to talk to anybody over the phone. We just want to use chat and email, right? Or SMS. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's no judgment against it. If people don't want to talk over the phone, they don't want to have that kind of aspect to their business, that's okay. But you will have customers at time or prospects that don't buy that way. They don't want to interact that way. They want to talk to a human. Maybe not the whole sales cycle, maybe not the whole time as a customer for their customer success, their issues, their challenges, whatever that is, but they're going to want to talk on the phone. And then as a business, you need to make a decision. And as a salesperson, you make a decision. Do we encourage that? And do we expand and take phone calls or set that up? Or do we disregard that segment of the population and stick to what we want to stick with? And there's no right or wrong. It comes down to what kind of clients you want. What do your clients want? Do you need more clients in a way, not from a desperate kind of anti-abundance way, but mostly from a, do you need more clients? Do you want them? Are you wanting to get people where they want to be and bring them into your process, bring them in as clients, bring them into your sales funnel? And so if that's the case, then you've got to expand. If you don't, and you don't want to operate in that way, and you don't want to have that, let's look at like Facebook, for example. I've never tried to call Facebook, but it's all email support. It's all maybe chat support. You have limitations on what you can do. If you're a business and you're running ads, or if you're doing anything with Facebook and you want to get help, it's pretty painful. And they've made it that way. They don't care. They don't want to do more. And fundamentally, they don't have to. They've been pretty successful. Amazon, on the flip side, when you're doing anything with Amazon, like when I put my book up there to sell the book, and then now in the process of the audiobook, I've had some challenges, I've had some questions. They have email support, they have chat support, and you can call, and their phone support is amazing. You might not think as a tech company they're going to have phone support, but their phone support was truly amazing, has been amazing every time I've talked to them. And they have determined that they're okay meeting companies or meeting customers and prospective customers where they want to be met in any of those mediums. So that's something important. Now, the reason why this doesn't happen and where this is an issue in companies and where they struggle is that a lot of companies and a lot of individuals, a lot of salespeople fall under the trap, which I talk about a lot and covers a lot more than just this one topic, is that people think everybody else should or is like them. And they think everyone likes to buy like them, would want to buy like them, should buy like them, should go through a process like them, should like what they like. And they just assume on autopilot that everybody is like them and sees the world like them. I encounter this a lot, especially with sales organizations where you've got a, let's say, a tech founder or somebody who starts a company and they don't like phone calls. They don't like dealing with the phone calls. They don't want to have a call center. They don't understand a call center. They don't know how to set up a call center. So they start a tech company. They found some kind of app or service that they can provide. And because they like chat support and they like SMS, they want to do everything via chat and via SMS because they assume everyone's like that. And you may be like that, or maybe you've met somebody in with that kind of mindset. And what happens is they tell you their idea. Maybe you disagree and say, well, I like to do phone calls. I don't like to do email support. And they might even make you feel bad or wrong because that's not how they view the world, right? It's, you know, whether it's politics, whether it's sports, whether it's even cell phones, right? There's the iPhone camp and then there's the anti-iPhone camp. And if you're an iPhone user and you meet someone who's not an iPhone user, there's usually this interesting conversation that happens. Where that comes in as a challenge and why I'm talking about this on this podcast for salespeople and sales leaders is that you always want to be mindful and be aware of your decisions to meet your prospects where they want to be met or make your prospects follow your rules and your vision and view of the process and the world. And there's nothing right or wrong, but you got to understand the benefits and the consequences of that. There's consequences. If you do not meet your prospects where you want to meet, then you're going to limit and you're going to cut out some prospective customers and some customers who won't want to be with you for very long if they're not getting their needs met and how they want to buy. And that might be okay for you if you've drawn that line in the sand, if you will. And on the flip side is if you decide that you will meet all the prospects where they are, the consequence and the trade-off for that is you have to have more resources available. So you have to have a call center. You have to have a chat, either a chat team that's monitoring the chat or a chat bot and the technology to handle that. You've got to handle the emails. You've got to handle the SMS and have the technology in place. That's the trade-off and consequence if you're going to meet them where they are. If there's one thing I know, it's that sales is full of failure. Even if you're a Hall of Fame level sales professional, you can make a great income despite losing more than you're winning. If there's one aspect of sales that most people fear and what keeps a lot of people even wanting to get into sales, it's getting hit with objections. That is why I wrote my latest book, The Sales Consultant Guide to Overcoming Objections, Yours and Theirs. This is the first in my new series of short books, guides filled with what you need for helping you improve your selling effectiveness. No fluff, no long-winded stories, no filler to make it seem more valuable, just actual foundation-building strategies to help you become aware of the true nature of why your prospects bring up objections, the different type of objections, and then specific ways to overcome them that are universal to most any sales process, product, service, or style. Go to Amazon.com today and get your copy of A Sales Consultant's Guide to Overcoming Objections. Or if you'd rather, as a gift to the listeners of this podcast, email me at jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com and I'll send you a complimentary full version of it as my thank you for listening and supporting this show. So keep that in mind, make that decision, and just be careful and mindful of that. Even as a salesperson, if you're sitting in a sales role right now, what are you doing to meet your prospective clients where they want to be met versus what rules are you trying to make them follow and what equals success for you, right? That's what it comes down to. All right. So that's segment one. That's part one of this episode. Now, part two, I want to share something that it's fascinating because this falls under the category of a tool, right? So it's going to be a technology tool for people to use. And what I found is there's lots of things I come across as a consultant in various mastermind groups, in with various clients. And I start using something or I find something and I just assume because I'm generally a late bloomer, I'm a late adopter, I find something and then I find out that everyone's known about it forever. So by the time I find something out, I figure everyone knows it. However, what I've realized is that that's generally not the case. There's lots of things that I know that I find and I want to start sharing those tools with people in case you're not familiar with it. Now, this one here, and this is not a paid product placement, I'm not paid by them. I don't have an affiliate link with them, but I'm sharing this because I think it's a useful tool. So it's called Calendly, C-A-L-E-N-D-L-Y. So think of calendar, but Calendly with L-Y at the end. And I believe it's calendly.com. There is a free version that you can use, and then there's a subscription base. The free one gives you one calendar entry that you can use, one calendar type. The paid one allows you three, and then up from there. So you can get started with free. It's great for most people. The free one is just enough, and it's got a lot of options in there. So here's what Calendly is, if you're not familiar with it. What it does is it allows you to create a calendar and or sync with your calendar and create a meeting type. And so what you do is you create a meeting type. So let's say you want to have your prospective clients, prospective customers that you're talking to, be able to schedule a time to chat with you. Let's say right now it is December, towards the end of December 2020. So it's all about the video. It's all about the Zoom. And so you want them to be able to set up a Zoom call. Now, what is the normal process? Let's say you're doing this via email. You email the prospective customer, say, hey, let me know when you have some time available. Or the better way that you would hopefully do it is, let me know if you have time Monday or Wednesday and if mornings or afternoon is better, right? So you want to give them the alternate close, narrow it down to two options, let somebody pick A or B and then B or C and C and D and then work your way to it. Because if you leave it open-ended, it doesn't work. That's another topic for another podcast. So you send out this email trying to figure out, hey, let me know two or three times that work out best, or let me know if Wednesday afternoon works good for you. Then they reply back and they say, here's these times at work, or Wednesday afternoon doesn't work, but can you do Tuesday at 9 a.m.? You reply back, I can't do Tuesday at 9 a.m., but I can do Tuesday at 10:30. Does that work? Blah, 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 back and forth. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's painful, and back and forth. Sometimes the ball gets dropped and nothing ever gets scheduled. What Calendly does, and now I sound like a commercial for them, but what Calendly does is allows you to set up a calendar link for an invite with your parameters, with when you want to be available. And if you can sync it with like a Gmail or an Outlook, it works really well. Then what happens is it knows when you're available because it's synced with your calendar, and you've set up the rules and you've set up the parameters. I have mine linked with my Zoom account. So when somebody does schedule a time, it automatically puts it in the calendar and automatically creates a Zoom link. So I don't have to do any of that. And then what happens is you send that link out. So you have a specific link that you can send. So you would send to that prospective customer, say, hey, to make it easy, I would love to get on a call with you. Here is the link for my calendar. Set up a time that works for you, or some language like that. And then what happens is you send them this link, and then people go, okay, perfect. They look on your calendar, they follow that link, and they see, okay, I can do this time or this time, this time. And then they pick it, they enter their information. You can set up the questions and the data you want them to include. And then as soon as they submit it, it sets it up on the calendar, puts it on your calendar, puts it on their calendar. Most of the time they've got to accept it and say yes, that yes, they do want this on their calendar when they get it via email, and then it's done. It's set up. Next thing you know, you're having that meeting. Super easy, super simple. So Calendly.com, it works great. It's a great thing for sending it out. Even if you're talking to somebody and you're like, hey, instead of us going back and forth, let me just send you this link. That works well. And then when you get the paid version, the subscription-based one, it allows you to have multiple calendar links. So for example, what I have a calendar link for prospective clients, prospective salespeople who want to be coached, I have a different one. I have a different one for people who want to be on my podcast so that we can have a call, and then also to actually have the podcast recording session, because those are all different parameters and all different uses. And then I just have this list of different links that I send out to people based on what it is. And then there's various priorities on my calendar. So hopefully that helps. Again, check out Calendly or something like that to save that time. I have some clients right now, individual salespeople, who have started using Calendly and sending it out to try to get more Zoom meetings with their clients who generally don't like to get on the phone, generally dodge their phone calls, generally like to do email. And by sending it out and sending out a nice message that says, hey, I would love to chat with you for 10 minutes and catch up and talk about some projects you have going on, right? Something casual like that, send out the link. They have increased their meetings exponentially, going from zero meetings a day and most of it being done via email and maybe text to 5 to 8 Zoom calls a day and calls that are turning into sales. So when you have that and you make it easy, again, this goes back to the first half, which is meet them where they want to be met. If you can make it easy, right? Resistance and barriers and challenges in their, your prospects' minds in order to work with you will slow down the process or kill those opportunities. It's got to be seamless. It's got to be easy. Whatever tools you can put in place to make the experience, the sales experience for your prospective customers even better and easier without any barriers, the quicker they're going to get into your process, into conversations, and then give you the best opportunity to close those deals. So that's it for this episode, and I will catch you on the next conversation about authentic persuasion. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.